All right, how about that? That was the last time we did baptism at the pool about a month ago, and then the very last video that you saw there was Hannah Warwick, who got baptized at our pond a couple weeks ago, and so... We're going to have her kind of share her testimony through a video that we'll share with you guys in the coming weeks. But just real quick snippet on that. She basically had been sensing the Holy Spirit, leading her into taking the step of baptism. And she's like, I need to do this, and I need to do this before we're going to do baptism again in service. And I'm all about helping people step into obedience and not waiting to do that, because I think that's one of the things we can often do too much. And I don't want the church's schedule to ever get in the way of someone being obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling them. So with that being said, we do have the baptism water set up for today. We do have one scheduled baptism for today, which is going to be a joy. And I said scheduled because who knows what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And looking at the idea of baptism, maybe some other people would have their hearts pricked to take that step of obedience. And we want to be here to celebrate with you when you do that. So with that all being said, my name is Ben Till. I'm the community pastor here at Bluffton. And it's a joy to be with you guys today. Saw some new faces, met some new people this morning. So thank you guys for joining us. We're always so excited, maybe a little too excited sometimes, you know, but we don't want to scare anybody off, but we always want to be welcoming and just make sure that everybody's connecting and feeling good when they come in the doors. I understand how difficult it is to walk into a church for the very first time. I mean, I'm a pastor now, and this summer we went to some different churches, and it was like, I don't know what I'm walking into, you know, so I get it. And quite honestly, I never really had to do that. I was always with Sarah or, you know, married and things like that, and always had a buffer. Sarah's a very friendly face. You know, people can come talk to Sarah, and I'm kind of, you know, I've got an angry eyebrow, I've been told. People sometimes tend to avoid me. So I do my best to smile and make it a little bit more welcoming. But Bluffton Community exists to help people say yes to Jesus. We want people to say yes to him as their forgiver and leader. And Jesus is both the one who cleanses us from our sin and saves us from death through his resurrection. So he is the one that is both forgiver and savior and helps us to live a new life through the conviction and the prompting of the Holy Spirit as the leader and Lord of our lives. Today we're talking about one of the responses that Christians make to symbolize that they have submitted to Jesus' leadership in their life, turned from their life marked by sin and death, and began to live a new life that is cleansed. We kind of buried that lead, right? You know, we kind of see that up there. But baptism is one of those things that over the last 2,000 years, we have made a mess of. I'm just going to be honest. We have made all sorts of different declarations. We have all sorts of different beliefs. I wanted to start with Ephesians 4. This was the key of our all-family meeting a couple weeks ago, where we talked about being one church. We are three locations, but we are one church family. And this is what Ephesians 4 says, starting in verse 3. It says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And so that verse makes it very clear that there is one baptism. We all share that baptism together. And so we're gonna kind of unpack that a little bit. But I did want to kind of, you know, reference, there are so many views on baptism. There's a Roman Catholic view on baptism. There is the Protestant views on baptism. Protestants are maybe one of the ones that kind of created some of the fun stuff here. There's paedobaptism, there's anabaptism, there's sprinkling, there's pouring, there's living water, there's still water. believe it or not, there's cold and warm water arguments, all of the different things. I was talking to someone earlier about that. And if you go back into early church history, they actually encourage you to baptize in cold water. So Marshall McConaughey, you're the only one who's been biblically baptized in here, man, because that water was freezing when we did that because we didn't have good heaters. But They you know, throw in some different caveats there, but there's all sorts of different views. I mentioned a couple of them. If you've ever seen the Greek Orthodox Church, there's a couple pictures I want to show you. They do infant baptism, and here's the baby after baptism, if we can throw that up there. He's having fun, right? Yeah, he looks like he's shocked. Here's mom. Check out mom's face. Oh, okay. If you've never watched Greek Orthodox baptism, it's a good time, all right? You should go Google, YouTube, Greek Orthodox. Basically, they do infant baptism, but they submerge the baby. How they do that is they dip them real quick. Both, they're flipping them back and forth three times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they're trying to do all the things, okay? It's a fun video to watch, and I wanted to show the video, but all I could get was the still pictures. So if anybody knows how to put video in ProPresenter, you can come see me after. But the list goes on. Every fiber of my being wants to go into these things. Every fiber of my being wants to say, "Hey, this is what this person believes. This is what this group believes. This is what this person does." And quite honestly, that would edify me. That would be good for me. That would be good for maybe a couple of you in here. But as a church, that would not edify us. And what I mean by edify is that would not help us. That would not be something that would instruct us well. We'd be just kind of like pointing fingers at everybody all morning. And that is not the point of what we want to do here. Honestly, that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan wants us to worry about what everybody else is doing. And what God wants us to do is worry about what he says. Okay, and quite honestly, there are some passages when you read it, it's not super clear, and so when things aren't clear, we like to fill in the blanks and we like to make up our own stuff, which is what I think has kind of happened. And so, this morning, I'm going to do my best to stay focused on what baptism is. There may be a few is not statements, but we're going to stay focused on what does Scripture have to say about one of the most important acts of obedience that we're called to as believers in Jesus Christ, and how does that shape our Christian walk after we have taken that step of baptism. And so before we do that, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're here for you. And we're here for you because you first were here for us. And we're going to talk about that next week, but Lord, it is so important for us to know that you took the first step. While we were still sinners, you died for us. And you did that when we were powerless. And the only power that we have is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit that you've given us. So Lord, we pray this morning that we are focused on you and you alone. That we're not focused on the things that I've been told in the past or anything like that. I don't even really want to talk about what the E-Free Church believes. I just want to talk about what you've taught us through Scripture. Let that be our guide this morning. Help us to see you rightly and help us to step in obedience in response to the Word of God. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So to start, I want to kind of talk about my own baptism experience. When I was an infant, I was baptized in the, I don't remember any of it except for seeing the little white gown that I was dressed in. I don't know why they dress little boys in little white gowns. I don't remember anything else but the pictures and that sort of thing. I was probably less than 6 months old. Because I remember my family moved to Iowa for my dad to finish his schooling out at chiropractic school in Iowa. So we did that when I was about 5 or 6 months old. So it had to have been before that. And quite honestly, I can remember growing up thinking that I was baptized Catholic. And I don't know why it was disappointing for me to find out that I wasn't. But when my parents were like, "Oh, no, it was the Presbyterian Church," it was like, "Really? like, I thought I was baptized Catholic. Like, why are we Notre Dame fans if I'm not baptized Catholic? There's no reason for us to be this miserable every Saturday if I wasn't baptized. Anyway, but there was a weird disappointment in there that this Methodist kid from Ohio was a Notre Dame fan and wasn't even baptized Catholic. But obviously the point is, like, I didn't remember anything about it. I don't know who did it. I don't remember where it was. I don't remember why. I just know that it was a decision that my parents made. And quite honestly, it was probably a decision that my grandparents made. My dad was raised Catholic. My mom was raised Presbyterian. Both of those churches practice infant baptism. And so there was probably a little bit of influence from my grandparents, especially on my father's side, where, that's a big part of your Catholic upbringing is that you baptize as an infant and you go that route. And so I don't remember any of it. And then about 16 years later, I was sitting in McDonald's doing a Bible study with Brandon Couples, who was my geometry teacher in high school, and several friends, and we were eating McDonald's breakfast, and we were reading scripture, and we were going through the book Case for Christ. And I can remember reading that book and feeling God telling me what he had done for me. That book is all about just kind of the analytical look at what Christ has done, what the cross was, what Christ had to go through medically and scientifically and all the things. It was just evidence. It was a guy who basically wrote a book to disprove Christianity because his wife had come to faith. And in so doing, he came to faith. Isn't that how that works? It's lovely. I love it. And so if you've never read that book, we've got copies, and I can get you one, but it had a profound impact on my life. I had sat in church my entire life, and I am sure that I had been told what Christ had done for me. But until I was 16, place I never even eat anymore. But it was a life-changing moment for me. And then about 2 years after that, we had started going to a new church because that's where most of my friends were kind of going. I was involved in a youth group there. And the decision of baptism came up again. And as an 18-year-old, I was baptized in Jim and Lisa Salms' house and at their pond, along with my father, my mother, and my 22-year-old sister. My whole family got baptized. So through that meeting at McDonald's with my teacher and my friends, God had transformed the life of my entire family. All four of us had been baptized as infants. In all four of us, I can't remember the exact day, I should have known that. But all four of us took the decision together to make this our own, to say yes to Jesus consciously for ourselves. I can remember, you know, listening to my dad's testimony and just the things that he had gone through and the journey that he had been put on, and just remembering how amazing it was to share it with all of them. And so over the last few weeks, as I've been preparing this message, there's been quite a few questions that have gone in my head. Why did I wait 2 years? Why did it take me so long? I came to faith as a 16-year-old, genuine faith, and it took me 2 years to get baptized. Well, it was probably because the church I was going to as a 16-year-old thought I was good. Hey, you were infant baptized? You're good. Don't need to do that. The church we started going to is like, we practice believer's baptism. Which one's right? I don't know. Okay, we'll kind of unpack some of that. But I think that my story is a story that is probably very similar to many people who are in here. Maybe you were baptized as an infant. Maybe you're coming to a church here and you're like, hey, that's believer's baptism. Should I get baptized again? Some of you are like, I was baptized not as an infant, but I was baptized pretty young. Do I get rebaptized? I was baptized as an 18-year-old, but I know Jesus so much better now as a 37-year-old. This is me now. Should I get rebaptized? Okay. The answers to those things, I think some are yes, some are no. Obviously, for me, I believe, and I've been pretty clear about the fact that baptism is for believers. Baptism is an immediate decision that you make a statement of faith, and then you take that next step and you get baptized, and you put all of the other obstacles aside. if the church is like, hey, we're doing baptisms in a month, we'll figure this out. We'll get baptisms going. We've had that a couple times. We've had some people that in the midst of a baptism message, they're like, I think I need to get baptized. Remember Cohen up here? 7 foot tall kid from Philadelphia University. He didn't fit in here, but we made it happen, right? Yeah, it was good. But anyway, so with all of that being said, the really interesting part was the church that I was going to and the church that I started going to were both United Methodist churches. So even the United Methodist churches were practicing two different things. There's one baptism, not multiple. So before we keep going, I do want to kind of throw some like little bombs out there about like some truths about baptism. Number one, it's God's idea. God is the one who invented this. It's kind of like we talked about a couple weeks ago with communion. It was God's idea. This was not humans who came up with this. It is for believers. It is for people who have genuinely made a profession of faith. That's over and over again through Scripture. When we read through Acts, it's they believed, they were baptized. Jesus, you know, reminds people, go out and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience, not salvation. Okay? It is an act of obedience and not salvation. This is not a work that saves you. That's the whole reason the Protestant Reformation happened. Martin Luther disagreed with what we were doing with baptism in the church, and he said, there's nothing we can do that adds on to what Jesus has done for us, and baptism is included in that, something that isn't added on. It is something that identifies us with the church. This is something that I am professing my faith. I am identifying myself with Christians. It is an outward symbol of the inward transformation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has already transformed you. He has already regenerated you when you came to faith. Baptism is now a symbolism of what had been done in your heart. Okay. Now that I've dropped those bombs, we're going to keep moving. All right. And I was telling people before service, this is one of those weeks where I probably joke questions. It is to provoke in your heart, like, what is God saying to me through Scripture? And not necessarily to sit here and answer every single question up here. But I would love to talk to you afterwards. I told Amy, I think, it's one of those weeks where I should probably just, like, go from small group to small group to small group and just, like, hey, be available. I don't know that I can be everywhere all at the same time, but I would love to answer questions and continue this discussion if we need to. The truths for today and the whole message, the whole title of this message is baptism is immersion. That's what the word means. It means to be immersed. John the Baptist is John the immerser. And so when you look into the Bible, you see baptism, you see baptized, and those are coming from two different words, and both of them mean to immerse. And so here are some of the definitions that come in. An event of being dipped into water temporarily as a cleansing ceremonial and initiatory rite, a severely trying experience understood as a difficult event into which a person is plunged entirely, and then also to cause to be engulfed or plunged into something, whether literal or figurative. And so it made me think of the phrases baptized by fire, right? When you're baptized by fire, it means you're going through something extremely difficult. It means you're being plunged or immersed into something you may not be ready for. That's the idea of immersion. And so it's literally to be immersed into difficulty, trial, or maybe even failure. Romans 6:3 says this, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? But those of you who have read through Scripture and you've read through the death of Christ, you know that it was agonizing. It was one of the worst forms of death that ever existed. The things that he endured are otherworldly, and that was the point. The Romans had perfected death through the crucifixion, and that's how Jesus died. And nobody in here, if we're being honest with each other, looks at that and goes like, Yep, sign me up. I want that. If anything, we're running the other direction from that. But the truth is, and the next point is that baptism is death. Baptism is death. Colossians 2:12 from the NLT says, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized." We are joining him in his death through baptism. This is why the mode of baptism in our church is to submerge. All of us goes under. When we are baptized, we participate in Christ's death, and we are putting to death our old self. Fritz has said this before. He said it a couple weeks ago. He said it like a couple years ago, and I'll never forget it. He basically talks about the fact that like old Fritz shows up on his doorstep every single morning, and he's got to put old Fritz to death. He's literally got to murder himself, go bury him in the backyard, and say, "I'm walking a new life. Old Fritz has got to go." And that's the same thing that we all have to do. Old Ben, old us, has got to go. Galatians 2:20 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body and trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." When you go under the water, you are figuratively joining Christ in what he literally did by putting to death the sin that enslaved us. Romans 6:6, "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And as a result of that, we can walk in new life," because baptism is just that, new life. We read Romans 6:3 a second ago. The next verse in that sequence is Romans 6:4, where it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Think about that for a second. We too may live a new life. Some of us may be sitting here and like, "You know, my life's pretty good. I don't want a new life." Others of us are sitting here going like, that sounds good. Sign me up for that. Because life is hard. Life isn't perfect by any means. And if I can be offered something, if I can be offered that new life, man, I want that. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that. When we come up out of the water during baptism, we are taking part in the resurrection of Christ. We die to sin. We are raised in the resurrection of Christ, which offered us justification, new life. Acts 2:24, "But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Man, death won, but it couldn't. It did not have the power to do so. If we continue back in Romans 6, verses 5 through 10, it says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. For if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God." Listen to that last part. The life he lives to God. Christ lives to God. The NLT says he lives for the glory of God. He always did. He never didn't. That's why he died. He was in perfect communication with the Holy Spirit, and he always said and still says yes to God in every circumstance. If you go back and read the accounts of Jesus in the garden, man, he didn't want to go through with that. He knew exactly what it was going to take. And he was praying, God, if we can do anything else, let's figure that out. But not my will, but yours be done. He always lived to the glory of God. The next verse in Romans 6, verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So back to that first point that I made, baptism is immersion. When we take the step of baptism, we are saying that I am going to put to death my old self each and every day. Literally, like Fritz said, I'm going to murder the old me until he returns, and I'm going to immerse myself in Christ. I'm going to listen for the Holy Spirit to convict me and help me follow in obedience. I'm walking a life immersed in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism is. Baptism is also a choice, not a requirement. It's a choice for believers to say, I'm going all in. I'm immersing myself in this new life, and I'm doing it before others who will help me stay immersed in Christ and keep me from going back to my old dead life of sin. You read through the New Testament, and guys, it is quit trying to go back to your old life. There are a lot of, and Kyle, if you're in here, and we're talking about circumcision again because that's what we do. There's a lot of references to circumcision and baptism and all the different things. And basically in Galatians, Paul is talking to these people who have turned away from their old Jewish life, but yet they keep wanting to go back to the requirements of the law. They keep wanting to go back to the old life. They keep wanting to get dragged back into the sin. That's a real thing. Some of us are walking in new life, and yet every person around me is part of that old life. Every single decision, everywhere I look is my old life saying, come on back. You had fun over here. We've talked about this before. Sin always overpromises and underdelivers. Sin is never as fun, never as good as what it claims to be. And quite honestly, if you're like me, you'll make a bad choice and you'll just like feel empty inside. You'll feel guilty. You'll feel shame. None of that is from Christ. As we just talked about, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All of that is part of the old life. I was reading through, and again, through Galatians, and it's just crazy that that's where I'm at in my personal devotions. It talks about a life that's immersed in sin. It's a sexually immoral life. It's an impure life. It's a lustful pleasure life. It's full of idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. When you read through that list, like most of us, this is what I typically do. I'm good on most of that stuff, right? I don't do half of that stuff. It doesn't matter, because if we do one of those things, that's the life of sin. God doesn't look at us and stack up our sins, be like, "Well, you're kind of good. You're really bad. You're pretty good." He goes, "Hey, selfish ambition. It's life of sin, man, and that needs to be cleansed." It goes on, and this is the fruits of the Spirit, and this is what we're choosing to live when we immerse ourselves in Christ. We choose to live in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know about the other men in the room. Those are not, like, if I'm gentle, it's not because of me. It's only because of Christ who lives in me. It's only because of the Holy Spirit. Kindness, you know, all of those things. Patience. I mean, we're talking about, you know, watching football games. I'm the least patient football person in the world. Like, I want my team to be good, and I want them to play great, all the things. And something as simple as that that's supposed to be fun, I turn into a miserable experience. So just like last week when Fritz spoke to a couple specific groups, this is what I want to do today as well. I'm realizing in a room this size, there are people who are coming from all walks of life. There's people who are coming with all different types of experiences and questions. Just the guy standing in front of you, I think I counted off like 7 different denominations in my background. Between my parents and between the churches that we went to growing up, all sorts of different things. And so I want to just kind of spend some time walking through the room, starting with those who are believers who have made the choice to be baptized. Those of you who have said yes to Jesus and you've taken the step of obedience and you've been baptized, walk in new life. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Walk in new life. Quit worrying about, do I need to be rebaptized? Quit worrying about, have I really made the decision to follow Jesus? We all struggle with those things. And honestly, the struggle is proof that the Holy Spirit is present in your life. If the Holy Spirit wasn't there, you wouldn't be struggling with any of those things because that's your sin nature. You'd just be doing it. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals those things to you and keeps reminding you to walk in newness of life. Second, invite others into that new life. We like to immerse ourselves in all sorts of different things, something that's new and exciting. You ever read a good book, watched a good movie, watched a TV show, got into sourdough bread, right? You know, that's the thing right now. You get excited and you just invite people into that, like, oh my gosh, I got this great starter, okay? And like, you should try it. And then, yeah, next thing you know, you got flat sourdough bread coming out of you. And I don't understand what's happening. God. It's not just us, huh? Okay, that's good. All right, the next group of people that I want to talk to are believers who have been baptized or were like me or were baptized as an infant. Pray about going all in. Pray about immersion. Pray about taking that step of obedience and making that decision for yourself to choose to be baptized. I'm going to honor the decision that my parents made for me when I was baptized as an infant. Because guys, all of that, you know, the sprinkling and baptizing as an infant, like the heart behind that is not wrong. It's a good heart. They want to do what's right for their kid. They want to make sure that their kid's good to go. Biblically, it's probably a little bit off base. And by probably, I mean it is. But the heart was right. And I think that's one of the things that as adults, we sit there and we look at that and we go like, am I dishonoring my parents by saying like, hey, that one doesn't count. That decision that you had for me doesn't matter. I got to do this on my... I honestly think it's the most honoring thing you can do. This is the life you've raised me in. You've prayed and you've wanted me to come to this decision my entire life, and here I am. I've decided to follow Jesus. That's a moment that would honor your parents. Lastly, I want to speak to the people in the room who are not of faith yet. You may be seeking. You may be here because you were invited by a friend. You heard we have good donuts and coffee. All the different reasons that people may walk in the door. Whatever it is that you came for, it's our prayer each and every time that we gather that the Holy Spirit would just absolutely ruin you. That he would reveal your old life to you and that he would ruin you, helping you to walk in the newness of life. And I know that that sounds like a negative thing, a Holy Spirit ruining you, but it's like the best thing I've ever heard a couple years ago, just like the Holy Spirit ruins you. It takes all of the things that you think you want and it reshapes your brain and it helps you walk in newness of life to the things that actually matter. And for some of you, maybe today is that day. Today is the day that you say yes to Jesus for the first time. Today is the day that the Holy Spirit reveals himself to you the way he revealed himself to me so many years ago in McDonald's. Maybe it's not yet today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Scripture reminds us that God came at just the right time for all of us. God will come for you in just the right time. I pray that it's today. But one of the things I want to make you aware of is that this isn't a fairy tale. This is real. It's a real thing, and it's for you. All that being said, again, the biggest thing that we've got to continue to remember is that being baptized is not a one-time event where I got wet in front of people, I came back out, I'm good to go, I can keep living my life. Baptism is an ongoing thing. We practice the event here, and then you walk in newness of life, and the Holy Spirit helps you walk in that newness of life, immersing you. Matthew 28, 19, Jesus's reminder to his disciples when he leaves. He says, and I'm going to read it straight from Scripture because I've been, you know, people like that. Kyra. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Word says baptizing, but that means immersing. Immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. This is something that we're commanded to do by Jesus. He reminds us, immerse people in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Help them to walk in the newness of life with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a lifestyle, not an event. That's what baptism is, okay? Now, like I said before, we do have one person who is going to be baptized, and so I'm going to invite Lexi Wheeler to come on up here, and Jeremy and Drew Basinger to come on up here. And while they're doing that, Jeremy and Drew Basinger, some of you know them, some of you may not be as familiar, but they lead the YFC chapter here in Bluffton, and Alexi is one of the students who has been coming to YFC, and over the last several weeks and months, God's been working on her life, and she came to Jeremy a couple weeks ago and said, hey, I think I want to get baptized. And so, Jeremy, if you want to use this microphone here, you can kind of talk about that story just a little bit and talk about how we got to this point.
Yeah, so we have known Lexi for a long time, and Drew's, I know, had a great impact in her life. And I think this is a decision a few weeks ago that you came and talked about. So, but yeah, if you want to, we'll do this. Sound good?
Real quick, Lexi, we do have two questions for you. Yeah. They're really easy, and it's open book, okay? The answers are yes. You already know that, okay? Have you said yes to Jesus as your forgiver and leader?
Yes.
And are you ready to be baptized? Amen. One of the things that we do here at Bluffton Community as she's getting ready is we go nuts when people get baptized. Scripture reminds us that the angels in heaven rejoice when people are getting baptized. And so I've got to waste a little bit of time because the kids are coming. So it's warm, right? We're good? Okay. Hurry, kids. But we have cowbells. If you don't have a cowbell, you can clap. You can cheer. Family, if you guys want to come, the front's open. If you guys want to move down here, you're welcome to move down here, and that way you guys can take pictures. But this is a moment to celebrate. This is a moment where Lexi is proclaiming to us, not only have I said yes to Jesus, but I'm also asking that you guys help me in that new life in walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And so we're honored to have her family here. We're honored to be a part of this journey and continuing on after this moment and in this moment. So, okay, I have successfully wasted the time that I need to waste. Thanks, everybody. Okay.
Lexi, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the old pass away. Behold, the new has come. Thank you.
All right, Jeremy, do you want to pray with her?
Yeah, I'd love to. Lexi, if you come over here. Family, if you guys want to actually gather around too, we're just going to pray for Lexi. So if you guys want to, just put a hand on her. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the impact that Lexi has had on our lives, Father. Father, I just pray that as you lead and guide her, Lord, I pray that you just go before her in every step. Lord, I thank you for where you have brought her to this place. Father, Lord, I pray that this is just the beginning. Father, I can't wait to see what you do with Lexi in her life next. Father, I just pray that you just be over her family, protect her in this spot, because we know that the evil one wants to do work. He wants to come in and rob and steal and destroy. But Father, you promised to give life. And Father, I pray as we focus on the life that you choose to give us, Father, I pray that you help us walk in obedience with you. Show us what that looks like. Father, go before Lexi, guide every. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we are going to finish with two songs today. But before we do that, I just want to encourage everybody to just kind of take some time and just ponder, what is God saying to me through this? There are so many things that are maybe going through your heads. And again, this is something that I've been pretty clear about. Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized, right? If you have never taken the step of baptism, if you've said yes to Jesus and never stepped into that obedience, today can be that day. We've got extra towels. We're ready to go. We've done it before. And all it's going to take is we'll have a quick conversation and we'll help you make that decision and go from there. And it may not be today. It may be, you know, a couple days down the road. But we don't want anybody to walk out of here without that celebration. We don't want anybody to walk out of here in that old life of sin. And so take some time to ponder. We've got people who are going to be around the room to pray with you. I'll be one of the ones who's back there as a prayer partner. But before we do that, let me pray for all of us. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the work that we just saw visibly in Lexi. We don't know the whole story. We don't know her entire life. We don't know all the things that you've been doing to reveal yourself to her, but we got to see this moment. And Lord, she's going to share the rest of those moments with this family. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for Drew and Jeremy and just the way that you've placed them in her life. I thank you for her parents. I thank you for Jack, her boyfriend, and just the way that you have brought them all together and that you've brought us all here for this moment. Lord, help us to never think that it is just a one-time deal. Lord, following you is a lifestyle. It is a lifetime of saying yes to Jesus, a lifetime of saying, I want that new life. And Jesus, you're the only one who can give it to me. Lord, I do pray for anybody in this room that is thinking about, do I say yes to Jesus? Is that a decision that you're leading me to? Help them to not try to do that on their own. Lord, we're called Bluffton Community for a reason. We are here together. We are hearts that you help us to come to the realization of the truth that is Jesus Christ, our forgiver and leader, and help us to walk in obedience as you call us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.